Hi, good morning. This is Crash.
Hey, Don Barnes, 38 Special. How you doing, Crash?
Good. Good to talk to you again, man. It's been, as the kids...
You too, I know.
It's been, as the kids say, a fortnight, but I didn't get a chance to see you this summer. Right? Hey, what'd you think...
Can you believe how punctual I am?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you were right on time, brother. Hey, what'd you think of that new Astro Theater when you played it back in July?
Man, that was great. That's great. That's excellent. Excellent venue, man.
Yeah, they loved it. It's amazing when you get guys who are a team that's involved in promoting live music that love live music to put together a venue to cater to the artists.
Yeah, you know, and it's a risky thing for anybody to invest in things like that, too. And it's great that they took that risk because it really pays off for them. You know? I think it's great.
Yeah, they're doing some great stuff. You know, I was glancing at your itinerary because, you know, I knew about how busy you guys were this summer. Because, you know, 38 Special is kind of a Southern, you know, you got the Wild Eyed Southern Boys thing still going on, right? It's the flashback stuff. Yeah. It's the memory. You guys are outdoors, your rock and roll, your motorcycle rallies, you know, that's just kind of your genre. You ain't slowing down this winter at all.
No, man, I'm telling you, I'm coming to you this morning. I just got the best news. We just charted at Billboard top 10 rock albums in America. That's great.
Dude.
That's a good
chart. Dude.
I know. It just rolled out.
That's insane.
Now, that's rock albums. We also debuted in the top 10 albums of America. Top 30 albums in America. So we got top 10 rock albums and top 30 overall albums in America. So, you know, it's all this hard work and sticking to it and, you know, that work ethic paying off. I went through a lot of dues paying here to get this thing out to fruition. But I'm coming to you very happy this morning.
I am so honored to have the first interview with you, Don, since you guys are in the top 10 of the rock albums. Because, you know, just think it 20 years when you have your next new album where you're going to be at then. On the charts
from the nursing home. Yeah.
I saw something interesting the other day. The guys of kids and people aren't of our generation, right? Of how many times we've had to rebuy our music, right?
Yeah,
From you know cassettes and 8-tracks and of course vinyl and then CDs and then the MP3s and streaming. And the question was, is this the last format that we ever consume music in, or is there something else? And it got me thinking, I was like, I have no idea. But I'm kind of kidding.
No, you're gonna buy these little chips that you put in your ear.
You're right? Microchip right into your wrist, right? Yeah.
Right. The record companies made the money on all that transition, you know. They kept reducing the royalty rates. Like, oh, cassettes, oh, CDs, oh, yeah, you make less on these. It's like, really? Well, thanks.
Yeah, and considering what it cost to produce a CD, what the true manufacturing price was, and they already had the masters, and then they turned around and they sold them for that inflated, because they got in trouble. They got in trouble for a class action lawsuit for making a mandatory low price, like $9.99 or whatever it was. It was like $1 to make these, and that included royalty to the artist.
Oh, it's mass production at that point. Once they get the digital stuff, it's just rolling them out. Nothing doesn't cost them anything.
So, again, I get Don Barnes, my guest, 38 Special, and a top 10 rock album, top 30 Billboard album on the charts right now. It's
morning.
Yes, it's this morning. Dude, 50 years you've been doing it. Does it feel like 50 years?
I know. I tell you, we must be doing something right 50 years later. You know, I told my manager, I said, you know, we had so much success back in the 80s and all that. It's like, that was a sound that was successful. 20 million albums. I told him, there's no reason at all why that sound can't be successful today, 2025. We just tried to make a modern, updated version of 38 Special, took some risks, did some co-writes with guys. I've got Pat Monahan from Train, you know, he came in and did a duet with me, and he's got a big fan base of a younger crowd, you know, so it was kind of, you know, bringing in newer audience, and co-wrote with Randy Bachman, and guess who, Bachman Turner Overdrive, and of course co-wrote with Jim Peterick, my old friend from Survivor through the year, so it just kind of came around big, full circle, you know, my old pal, you know, so it's worked out really well.
So when I was listening to the record, The one that really stuck out to me too with the collaboration with Train with Pat, it was like, wow, it sound okay. So, you know, 38 Special has a sound, right? You guys have a sound, you know, and it's a timeless sound because you guys are still on thousands of radio stations every day. It's a great sound. It's a sound that people identify with. But the modern rock sound that you have on that, I had to look twice. Is this really 38 Special? It's so modern.
Yeah, there were some older fans who were kind of scratching their head like, huh, this is 38 Special. But it was intentional to, you know, give an update. It kind of crashed your damn to do, damn to don't. You come out with something that sounds like 1986, they're going to be shrugging their shoulders and saying, well, there's nothing new. That sounds like all they did that many years ago. Conversely, you come out with something that took some riffs, went way out on a limb, and it's up there, they say, well, huh, this is 38 Special. So you have to just kind of dismiss yourself from all those opinions and just do something as an artist and be creative and, you know, go out and do some risky things. Yeah, so
a hit is still a hit, though, right?
Yeah, that one was a real angular, kind of rude song. I told Pat he had done a version of Hold On Loosely with Joe Bonamassa, and they released it to YouTube, and it got like a million hits, you know. So I reached out, and we were in the middle of doing this 50th anniversary album. I reached out to his manager and said, would he like to come sing with me on one of these songs? We're doing an album right now. And he came back and said he absolutely would love to do it. He's a lifelong fan. And so I made a new friend, but he came and he crushed it, man. We had a great time putting that together. But it's just this really sweet guy, good-hearted guy from Erie, Pennsylvania originally. And I told him, I said, yeah, between the two of us, we could probably scare up a pretty good song if you want to do some writing together. So he's all for that. So that's open a different opportunity, you know, for the future.
You're 100% right what you said, though. He's just a generally nice guy.
He is.
You know,
yeah,
and it's good to see when good people rise to the top like that and stay there. And I don't know what your opinions are on. He's got some pretty good wine too. That drops of Jupiter wine, and not too bad.
But it wasn't like it was like a smooth sailing for him. He had some rough periods where he lost his record deal. He got re-signed. You know that. Yeah, you kind of pay your dues. You're the roller coaster of emotions. You know, you go through all that. So, but he said he deserves everything now. He's touring the world. Just got back from Australia. Then went going to Europe and everything. I said, man, you're doing great. So, you know, he is deserving for a guy like that, you know.
When you're doing your 50th anniversary tour and you're working on that brand new record, before you release it, how often do you sprinkle some of the new stuff in your set when you're doing live shows?
Oh yeah, well, we got a couple of them in there already, and we're going to slowly add more. We have to kind of move things around, but we put some medleys, little mini medleys together some of those hits, you know. You do 2.5 minutes of it and bang it against another hit, another one after that. So because we have to make time. If we get everything full length, we'd be there 4 hours.
You know? It's true.
Yeah. So we have to, you know, the guy, Gary, our drummer, always get a drum solo. And he's, you know, I said, yeah, you've done enough of those drum solos for years. We need that 3.5 minutes.
Right.
So he's, you know, he's fine with that. You're not doing the drum solo. We have to put some more hit songs in there, you know. So it's a ride. Everybody knows. You come out to see 38 Special, man. It takes you. We unfold that history. We take them for a ride all the way for 102 minutes of everything you want to hear through the band, through all the years, and special new surprises, new songs. So, but we're just ecstatic this morning that it actually we are top 10 rock album.
That's so cool.
That's crazy.
I've been doing the radio thing for more years than I care to count as well, and you know I've seen the transition. You know,
I know how fickle radio is, buddy. All due respect to you.
Yeah, thanks. But you know, I remember Tuesdays was always the big deal because that's when the radio records list came out, the Gav Report came out, and you know, and I was whether I was a rock programmer at the time or a pop guy, you know, you had to pay attention to all that stuff. So you know, that was like the halcyon days, and you know, and you always cheered for your bands, like, oh yeah, right, great, these guys are doing good. So when it's people like you guys that I've been around dozens of times over the years, I'm like, yes, That's awesome. This just gives me such a sense of, man, we're not dead yet, buddy. We're not dead yet.
That's it. That is actually right. Because there's just some people out there going, they're like, how dare they come out with a new album 50 years later? It's like, yeah, how dare we? We've been doing this. We do 100 cities a year, over 100 every year. So all these years we've been touring, and people ask, why did we take so long? We were just taking care of our people. You know, the live business has gone through the roof. You know, I've got 16 guys out here with their families rely on them and us to keep them solvent and get my crew paid and truck drivers and all, you know, so we just been doing it every year, having a great time. We roll down the road and we're all family, you know, we bring it to the people there and make it a great experience for everybody. And we're there for a day and we're gone to the next one. So, yeah,
it's, you know, it's sad, but that's really, as a musician, that's the only thing you control anymore that really make you money. You know, that's,
It is. I mean, you can't download the live show. You get the whole experience. And the volume is 50 feet tall. And, you know, we also appreciate the trouble that people go through to get there. You know, people don't realize it. Those audiences just don't appear. We'll go into the hall before they've opened the doors and it's all empty. You know, it's like we're walking out the stage looking around. You realize you go back there and get dressed and then you come out and the whole place is packed. You know, it's amazing. But we know that it takes a lot. You know, you get home, get off work, get dinner, you know, maybe get a babysitter, find a parking place, get in the building and all that. So we want to make sure it's 110% for them. We appreciate that.
Yeah, the people that show up at the show are the ones that want to be there, and they're the biggest fans. And you guys always bring it. I will tell you, transversely, you know, about talking about your live shows, I got a couple of buddies. One of them, his name, I'll call him Alan, since that's his name. And I took him backstage at a couple of the shows here in town so he can be, and he's a huge fan. But I'm pretty convinced that if you did 102 minutes of Chain Lightning, he'd be fine.
Oh, yeah, we saved that, the big production, all the big smoke and the strobe lights and the thunder and all that, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, that's my favorite one, too. It's like, it's all the big guitar, Bad Company, ZZ Top, Mountain, all that into one song, you know, got all the dynamics to it. I always love playing that one.
So, have you come up with ideas on other videos or other releases off of this album yet? Have you got to that point?
Yeah, the first song was All I Haven't Said. Yeah. That was a big smash for everybody. It was really my diamond. That was one that was like, man, just give this song a fighting chance. It has everything in it, has all the elements, and it's my throwback to all the Jangle guitars or the history through the years and decades. And we were big Beatles and British Invasion fans, the Searchers and all those Needles and Pins. Remember that song? Mm-hmm. And just all those back in the Birds and Two and everything. But the funny thing about that song, it's like my wife's good luck charm. She came around the corner. I was strumming some noodling little chords. She said, what is that? I said, just something noodling around. She said, she actually came around the corner and said, that sounds like that should be called All I Haven't Said. I'm like, what? Well, that's a perfect title. So, yeah. So my wife told me that. I was like, where did that come from? She said, I don't know. It just sounded like this chord sound, you know. I said, have you got any more compelling titles like that? She said, well, play some more compelling chords and maybe I will come up with
something. Did she ask for points on the record then? Did she ask for some points on that?
No, she got songwriter credit. She sat down and we wrote several lyrics across the thing and the bridge and all that. And the chorus, put the chorus together. I said, what is it about? Well, she, you know, you try to frame a song, All I Haven't Said, what is that about? You know, it's like you figure a man that doesn't know how to express himself. He's not the romantic that his wife wants him to be. And he's out in the garage shop and he just doesn't really talk a lot. And I thought, you know, maybe she has felt like she hasn't been heard and maybe they had a little falling out. And he really wants to express to her that she absolutely means the world to him. He just didn't really express himself. And I said, what could be the ultimate? I'm telling my wife, Christine, mm-hmm. I said, what would be the ultimate thing a man would say? Like, how about I would shout it from the mountaintops? And she said, ooh, how about I would write it across the sky how much I love you, you know. I thought, wow, that's pretty huge, you know. So she's like, it was cute to watch her sign up for ASCAP and get her royalties and all that.
Now, she's like, share that money, or is that all like buying a new purse money?
She's like, well, I'm gonna get my royalties. She said, did I need to start my own publishing company? I said, honey, slow down a little bit.
That is so awesome.
But yeah,
that is
great. He's a songwriter now.
That's great. Hey, I know I've only got you for a short period of time, but I want to say thanks, brother. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And to see that this record is charting like this, the 50th anniversary, you guys doing this thing. You know, Omaha, you're always here, everybody, every year, year and a half. You swing by Omaha, it's always a great show. Anybody in the region get a chance to see them, they're going to be all over the place following. But go listen to that new record, man. It's fantastic. Thank you so much for the time, buddy.
Thank you, Crash. Come back and see me. Come say hello.
We'll do it again. We'll talk to you soon. Take care, buddy.
Bye. Okay, buddy. Thanks. Bye-bye.